This is the Geek Dads, the podcast of geekdad.com. This is episode 136, the new Siskel and Ebert. Hello, everyone. Hello. Welcome back. We're here. This is the Geek Dads, episode number 136. I'm Ken Denmead, editor in large and publisher of geekdad.com. Apologize. It's been a month since our last podcast. People have just been getting really, really busy lately. Myself, not the least of which. My apologies to everyone. But, you know, we're geeks, but we're also dads, and we have families, and there's always something going on, and there's always something that'll trip us up, and every now and then we have to miss a podcast. So, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa. Hello, Matt. How's it going?
It's going okay. Busy, but good.
You either need to boost your seat or lower your camera, because right now all we were seeing was your lower third and your forehead.
I'll try my seat.
It was blinding.
My seat is not. thanks. My seat is not so adjustable, unfortunately.
So yours is blinding. Mine's just a white flash. So between the two of us, middle age has hit us hard.
Yes.
Yes. So what's going on, man? It feels like it's been a month. I've been really extremely busy over doing stuff over on Make, which is tremendous and a lot of fun, and hopefully folks are seeing some of what's going on over there. But everything seems to be going quite well over here at Geek Dad with my limited attention, and I'm really, really angry about that.
Well, I've been trying. Unfortunately, I've been getting a lot of help from Z and Jonathan, and I appreciate your help as well when I was on vacation.
Yeah.
And scheduling stuff. Had a good vacation with the family down in Florida.
Fantastic. Yeah, you did the old Disney World thing, right?
Did. Started off actually doing Universal for 2 days because they were opening the new Transformers ride, and they had invited me for that.
Oh, neato. Okay, now.
So got to ride that a couple of times. Got to stand on the red carpet for that. Got to see, if not actually talk to, Steven Spielberg.
Well, well, well. You breathed air. There might have been molecules that he exhaled that you inhaled now.
I was probably about 12 feet from him. I got some really good, really sharp pictures of him standing next to a walkabout of Optimus Prime.
There's something incongruous about, you know, if only Steven Spielberg were associated with the Transformers films, right?
Well, I think he may have been one of the producers on them. I'm not honestly sure.
It's not enough.
No, definitely not. He's the executive producer on the ride, which is why he was there.
Interesting. Interesting. What does that actually mean, other than he probably gets paid $100,000 to have his name associated with the ride?
I really don't know. I have no idea what it means, honestly. No, it was really cool, and I got to meet some of the voice talent, which is really cool. I got to meet Peter Cullen and Mark Welker.
Oh, Mark Welker, that is so cool.
Yeah, voice of Fred Jones, voice of Megatron, which is such a great dichotomy. It's awesome. although actually,
he's done Scooby in the past and a couple of other voices. Yeah.
Well, I hadn't really, I don't tell you, I was looking it up. He's actually done Fred's voice every single time Fred has appeared anywhere, even in like a parody that they did on Family Guy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. he did not actually do the voice of Megatron in the movies. They replaced him with Hugo Weaving. But he does do the voice of Megatron in the ride.
Well, everything is as it should be then.
Yes, and Peter Cullen continues to do Optimus Prime, as he should.
As you should. That's the only thing that has made the movies even mildly watchable.
Yes, that they got Peter Cullen. Yes, he is, and they are really funny too. They went down together, and they've been working together over the years so much that they're obviously
as long as you and I have been alive, I believe.
Probably, yeah.
Close to it. Yeah.
They're obviously really good friends, and they each try to make each other laugh throughout the entire thing, and they obviously just have a blast, even though it must be, you know, they must have done many red carpets before, I'm sure. Yeah. So that was a blast meeting them. It was unfortunate, but not terribly surprising that Spielberg didn't actually stop to talk to anybody on the red carpet. He just walked right past everybody because he's Steven Spielberg and he can do that. You know, he did an interview earlier in the day with the Today Show, and I think probably with one of the other channels also. You know,
that's not bad.
Yeah, because he's Spielberg and that's what he does.
That's cool. Well, I'm getting ramped up for, let's see, a week from next Monday, we'll be going to do a week down at Disneyland in California. It's our sort of one of our annual trips. We are such Disney files at this point that it's just so much fun. And so, you know, we would be totally missing out if we didn't go. So we're going to be hanging out at the Paradise Pier Hotel and spending a leisurely week down there so that, you know, we're not going to feel rushed about stuff. And we're going to hopefully, you know, the big challenge is last time we were down around Christmas time, you know, still everything has been so crazy with the opening of Cars Land. And Cars Land is now over a year old, I believe, or close to a year old. Mm-hmm. When we were there at Christmas time, unless you did get in at the crack of like special extra hour early opening and ran over to get online, you could not get on the Cars Land ride. It would either be all of the fast track tickets would sell out by like 9:30, 10 o'clock, or a 3 to 4 hour line to get on the ride.
Now, did they revamp fast track there also, like they did at Disney World?
In which way?
Well, they redid it when they reopened Fantasyland, when they opened the new Fantasyland extension back in December, and we went down for that. My wife and I went down for that. Yeah.
You mean the wristband thing or the?
No, they redid the test track ride so that first you go and you design your car using like these big touch screens, and you can add elements to it. And,
yeah, I don't think so, because this one is very specifically cars themed.
No, then they didn't. This one's all Chevrolet stuff. It's all sponsored.
Yeah, no. This one, I mean, it's I imagine it's probably the same infrastructure for the ride, but this one is very specifically cars themed. So you're actually driving through Ornament Valley.
Do you end up going outside and going incredibly fast there? Because they put you at 65 miles an hour outside.
Right.
In an open car there, which makes it the fastest ride at Disney World, apparently.
Yeah. But in this case, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the pictures. I mean, what they've done, they've literally recreated Ornament Valley in this corner of California Adventure, and it's gorgeous. It really works. I mean, they're so good at the trompe l'oeil of like fading colors as you get higher so that it looks further away.
Oh, I know.
It looks tremendous.
Oh yeah, well, if you go to New Fantasyland at Disney World, you can like you see the Beast's Castle. If you didn't know that it really was, you know, just only like 20 feet away from you, you would totally believe it was away in the distance.
That's nice. I know. I'm interested to see. You know, when they do stuff at Disneyland, it's usually on a smaller scale than Disney World, just because there's a lot less space. But which is nice. I love it because it's more intimate and it's easier to get places. But they've just opened, and I don't know if it's temporary or what. Right now in Fantasyland down there, they've got this sort of Renaissance Fair thing going.
That's cool.
Which I'm interested to see what they're doing with that. You know, it's fun because, you know, if you're in the know and you look for stuff, there are so many little things that you can still find that are hidden there. When we were there last time, and I had never noticed this before, back on the backside of Fantasyland, and I'm assuming it's still there now, maybe that it was torn down for something recently, I would hope not, but there is still these sort of Swiss chalet building back in the trees, hidden from most view in Fantasyland, that was one end of the SkyTram. There was up until the 70s sometime, may have been early 80s, there was a SkyTram that went from Fantasyland to Tomorrowland, or traveled right through the center. Why there's a hole in the middle of the Matterhorn was this SkyTram ride used to go right through it. And one end of it is still, the building is still there, hiding behind the trees in Fantasyland. And it was like, whoa, little ghost ride mountain house there. That's so cool.
It's pretty funny. yeah, I kind of want to come back. I think it's in December. They told us about like the most they created the most obscure hidden Mickey ever in New Fantasyland. It's in what they call Ariel's Grotto.
Okay.
Which is like, you know, this you know, Little Mermaid experience thing, but there's there's some gaps in the ceiling there where this, and apparently on Walt's birthday, at noon on Walt's birthday, the sun will shine through this particular crack and make the shape of Mickey's head, of a perfect Mickey's head on the floor.
Oh, neat.
But only at noon on Disney's birthday. That's the only time it will be a perfect Mickey's head.
That is really very cool. That's very sort of Indiana Jones.
Exactly.
The right light will hit the Tomb of Souls, and we'll.
That's pretty much the most obscure one, because you can literally only see it for, you know, maybe a couple of minutes once a year. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty scary. Yeah, the New Fantasyland is pretty cool. We got completely unrelated to Geek Data, just because we had made a reservation. I think they were picking people randomly. We got to have to do a fast pass lunch at the VR Guest restaurant.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so we didn't have to stand in the huge, huge line to do it, which we would not have done.
But weren't you just royalty this trip?
So that was pretty nice. It was, and it's very cool. They give, you know, we actually ordered ahead of time, you know, so they said the menu. So we ordered everything ahead of time. We went, they gave us, this big plastic rose, you know, cause it's a rose, like Beauty and the Beast, you know, and then, you know, and it basically you find a table wherever you want to. And as soon as you put the rose on the table, it activates the RFID chip. And so that's when they bring your food to you. Then it, because they've already got the food prepared because they know you're coming, and you've ordered it. So then the cart says, "Oh, they're at this table," and it tells the person where to bring them. And they've got all these people with these carts, and they got the little computer displays in front of them, and they're all going to go to the table, and they hand you your food.
Wow, it's sort of like Webvan.
It's fairly cool. It's fairly cool. I mean,
That's a nice setup. I like that.
Yeah, it's clever in that, you know, they don't have to like hunt around for numbers or anything. It actually tells them exactly where you are.
Because that's pretty slick. I like that.
Yeah, it's very clever. It's
like we can have the food ready for the people as soon as I don't know. There's got to be some joke in there about, you know, how much more efficient it is to make the food than it is to wait online to get the food or to get your table. But
I was very glad we didn't have to wait in line, because I'm hoping that they're going to redesign this, but the in order to get into the castle, to get the line goes out across the bridge to the castle and to the quote-unquote castle. So, you know, it's really just built into the hillside.
It's a castle. It's a real castle. Come on.
And but there's no shade. I mean, the bridge is just out there in the bare sunlight.
Oh, no.
And so they were like going through and handing out umbrellas to everybody in line.
So in other words, somebody designed this, they forgot to put up the misters or whatever. And
they need something. They need, I know they wanted authenticity, and in the movie, the Beast, you know, the castle doesn't have an awning over it or something, but it's like they could put something there that's retractable so they can at least take it down at night, you know,
right,
when it's not needed, you know, but have some shade up there during the day, because it was just, because the sun was just killing people there. And if they hadn't been handing out umbrellas, they would have had people passing out, I'm sure. I mean, it was just brutal. So, yes, I was very glad we didn't have to wait in that, because we probably wouldn't have. Like, I think we'll go somewhere else for lunch. Because not only do you have to wait in line, you have to wait in line and then spend a fair bit of money, because as restaurants go, cheap it is not.
Yeah, now I would wonder, though, I mean, isn't that the kind of place sort of like Blue Bayou at Disneyland and stuff, where you make reservations early, don't you? I mean,
For dinner, yes. For dinner, it has been it's booked 180 days. You know, but you can make it. I mean, reservations a maximum of 180 days ahead of time.
Oh, okay.
It is constantly booked solid. Like as every day rolls on, people book the next day. Yeah.
Okay. This is another reason why I prefer Disneyland to Disney World.
But for lunch, it is not. For lunch it is on a wait system. Yeah, it was cool. You could see them setting up though for the wristbands. we saw some people who did get them to test out. We did not, unfortunately, but they are using the cards that you get as like your hotel ticket, and that also has your hotel room key, and that also has your ticket on it. You can use those at the scanners for the wristbands also. So like you scan that and then you put your finger in the scanner to prove that.
I'm sure they're trying to do, you know, work all the angles to make it as efficient and as combined as possible.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the wristbands, I mean, it's a great idea. I mean, to have,
you know, realistically, if we ever wanted to have the perfect fascist government, we just hand everything over to Disney. You know what? We'll all be happy, and all the lines will move. Everything will be organized.
They make everything run on time.
It'll be all clean.
That's true. Yeah, that still blows me away how they managed to keep those parks that clean. And I just don't know.
I've worked enough corporate jobs in my life and understand, you know, putting systems in place and getting methodologies and procedures down and all of this stuff and looking at, you know, what systems must be in place for these parks to, you know, first of all, to manage the people that are just working there, the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that are working there and having, you know, they're putting on the equivalent of, you know, 30 Broadway shows every day in each park.
Yeah, if not more. Magic Kingdom is probably more like 60. Yeah.
I know. I mean, plus everything is kept clean and spotless. And I mean, to a certain extent, you know what? That's why we're paying, what, $100-something a day to go into these parks?
Well, that's true. Yeah. Cheap, it's not.
I mean, I forget what a single day pass is at Disneyland now, but or a full park, you know, double park pass. But when you think about it, they get, you know, they'll get on busy days, they will get 100,000 people between the two parks.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, you understand. There's still value there. That's the thing is, you know what? You can look at it and say, oh my gosh, that's so expensive to go into these parks. Mm-hmm. But the experience will be tremendous. Everything is clean. Everything is perfect. It's, yeah.
I love how, I mean, and they're brilliant in the price structure that they do for like the park hopper tickets and things at Disney World, where basically once you've passed 3 days, of park hopper tickets, adding on another day adds on very little money,
right,
to the tickets. You know, it's very expensive for the first 3 days, and then after that it's a little bit more each day, but of course you still have to pay for the hotel and your food and everything else. So they still you know, get tons of money from you,
right? But honestly, I mean, that's why we've gone to annual passes for the last number of years. And in fact, that's why we did last year. We did like the super duper premier pass that got us access into both World and Land. Because we actually figured it out that for the one trip that we would make to World and the one trip that we would make to Land within the year, it paid for itself. It actually turned into a value. So
I can believe that. Yeah.
On top of, you know, plus all the you know, the 15% discounts in various places.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Although it's, you know what? What's really weird is the discounts at Disney World are a lot worse than they are at Disneyland. You get better food discounts for having an annual pass at Disneyland than you do at Disney World.
I wonder why. That's interesting.
I think it's because it's tighter. All the restaurants inside the parks, and then there's maybe a dozen or 16 restaurants in the downtown Disney area.
That's true.
And it's a smaller thing to control. Whereas
at Disney World, there's about a million places to eat.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You kind of lose track. We actually, there's a new boulangerie actually in France at Epcot the Friends Pavilion in Epcot that's really good and has a lot of stuff that's on the dining plan, which was really nice. yeah, it has made some really nice food, but it was very pleasant. Cool. And they had a strawberry smoothie that was really nice and refreshing on a hot day, of which there were many.
Which there were many hot days, I have no doubt.
Yeah, our first day at Disney, actually, we got caught in a downpour at Hollywood Studios. Just absolute, just torrential rain. That was fun. We found a nice little coffee shop. We found a nice little coffee shop that hadn't been open the last time we were there, though. That was kind of cool.
That's cool. All right, you know what? We've now turned off everybody. Like, whoa, oh, it's so sad. They've gotten the red carpet at Disney World. They've got premiere passes for Disney. The world's smallest Mickey violin playing just for them.
Yeah. Well, I can mention some of the new stuff that's coming at Universal, which is...
Well, sure. What the heck?
Well, there's all kinds of new Simpsons stuff coming. Interesting. Yeah, they're opening. I mean, they've had the Simpsons ride for a while, but now they're opening like a whole Springfield, USA area. part of which has already been built. They have Moe's Tavern already built, and it looks like Moe's Tavern, only clean.
See, here's a question. I mean, I love Simpsons, but man, isn't this like 15 years too late?
Simpsons is still very popular.
I know. It's weird. It's so strange.
And you can get Duff beer. And you can get a Krusty burger, and you can get a Lard-Lad donut, which is about the as big around as like a volleyball. And it's the biggest donut I've ever seen, that's for sure. Biggest actual edible donut I've ever seen. Not sure edible's the right word, but anyway,
you're scaring me, Matt.
It was huge. Like they had donuts literally this size. It was
enormous. That's no donut. It's a space station.
You could get a Flaming Moe, which was really just orange soda with like Alka-Seltzer tablets making it bubble. They did show that they're creating a new area with a Kang and Kodos twirl and hurl. They're actually calling it a twirl and hurl. Yep. In which, while you're flying around, they insult you. They're creating a Duff Brew Pub, which will have a statue of Duff Man outside with you to get your picture taken with them. It's really cool. If you're a Simpsons fan, it will definitely be a place to want to go.
That is funny.
And we can see
where what's cool about Universal is that they can do stuff with attitude.
Well, it's much more grown up. I mean, that's the thing it's much more for older people than Disney is.
Yeah, well, I mean, but even for example, California Adventure at Disneyland is has that one step further where, hey, you can get drinks in the park. That's it's a big deal. There's some good microbrews. There's a restaurant in the park that serves drinks and has great Manhattans and stuff like that. But there's one whole dining area that is based on Napa Valley, and you can do wine tasting and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but still, it still has that feeling. It's a very family feeling and so forth. There's not a lot of attitude to it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Universal definitely has more of that. And really, with the exception of the Dr. Seuss area at Islands of Adventure, which is obviously not with attitude and is obviously aimed at kids.
Right.
Everything there has a bit of an edge. They've got the Harry Potter area, which Harry Potter is obviously aimed at kids, but it's got an edge to it. And then it's got Jurassic Park. Obviously an edge to it. Marvel superheroes, they do a good job with it. And the Transformers bit has some fairly scary moments in it. It has some intense moments, at one point Megatron shoots a missile at you and you feel the heat as it comes towards you. It's pretty incredible. And it actually, it does give, just to go back to the ride for a second, it kind of does feel like you're in a Michael Bay film a bit. Like it even slowly.
Oh, that bad?
it even slows. They'd even do the where the action will slow down just for a couple of seconds, and then speed up again. It does that. It actually does that in the middle of it, which is like, I was like, okay, it's Michael Bay, because that's his trademark. It's like his trademark. But it was still pretty. It was still pretty cool. They invented a new transformer for it, which was cool too, called named EVAC. Well, he's the one you're supposed to be writing him.
I'm gonna draw a parallel here to the crappy extra character made for the ride or event at an amusement park. So, Muppets 3D, Matt.
Oh well, that's not the same. No, you're actually right. You're actually riding on EVAC. Like you're supposed to be navigating for him.
Okay, all right.
As the Decepticons are staging a sneak attack to try to.
So there's no equivalency to that 3D character in Muppets 3D, whom we've never seen before in any Muppet thing. He doesn't look like a Muppet. He doesn't. You know, he's a bad 10 to 15 year old computer generated thing, and
hopefully, and we will probably never see him again. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, for some reason they put him on one of the Metalmation that they did for Muppets.
Yeah,
I still have no idea.
Although I do have a soft spot for the Muppets 3D experience.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. We went back to see it, even though we've been there a couple of times before.
Yeah, it's
fun. It was right after that we got in the downpour. Okay.
that's karma.
No, actually, EVAC is it's kind of cool. You know, he talks to you, and you're helping him out as the Decepticons are staging a sneak attack to try to steal this piece of the AllSpark, and of course Optimus Prime is there to fighting Megatron, and Optimus Prime talks to you, and thanks you for saving everybody at the end.
Thanks for saving us.
Which is,
we now have to battle for the rest. You know, it's like
without your help, the world might not have been saved. You know,
and that's the news.
I don't think I'm really spoiling anything by saying that you win at the end of the ride. You know, it's like,
dude, you just ruined it.
Come on, shocking. Yes.
I'm just wondering. You know, come to think of it, Optimus Prime, Walter Cronkite. Have we ever seen them together? Could they be the same? No. Sorry.
Interesting theory.
Probably not. Speaking of which, then this is my segue. This is an awesome segue.
Okay.
Man of Steel.
I actually have not seen it.
Clark Kent, Super. You have not seen Man of Steel?
No, I know enough people who've seen it and made it sound rather disappointing that I'm going to save my money and wait for it to come out on cable.
Okay. All right.
I know the spoilers to it, which is fine with me. I don't usually care. You know, I know what happens at the end. But which is very un-Superman-like, I have to say.
Yeah, it is an example of Hollywood storytelling. It is, yeah. Give Hollywood a character with a distinct mythology, and they adapt the character and most of the mythology for the sake of visual storytelling, and they get lazy and they take a few shortcuts and don't notice that it sort of violates some of the core tenets of the character.
Yeah, I understand that for most of the movie, he doesn't seem to care that there should be a huge amount of collateral damage as they like fight in the middle of Metropolis and half the city gets destroyed,
right?
Which would presumably result in the deaths of thousands and thousands of people.
As
it would if it happened in New York, But he doesn't seem to care, which of course, being Superman, he should,
right?
Because that's the character.
Plus, his dad dies.
Oh, which one?
Pa Kent.
Okay, well, but that happens.
I'm going to apologize. I really should have given spoiler alert before that, so I'll put.
Yeah, I notes. I heard that. Well, but I mean, that happens in the original.
When did
that happens Kent... in well, in, there's so many. The character's been rebooted so many times. I mean, that happened in the original movie, with Christopher Reeve.
But did it? But when did he die in the original movie?
When he was still young.
All right. Well, yeah, I misunderstood.
Remember, he races his father, you know, jokingly. And then his father, you know, gets on his heart attack and.
Okay.
Grabs his arm and passes, you know, collapses.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, all right. So the argument that I've seen made, though, is that the, you know, one of the core tenets of Superman is that he did not have a traumatic experience that spurred him into being a superhero.
Right.
Or Spider-Man or any of dozens of others. He simply had an all-American upraising in, you know, middle American upraising, and when, you know, came to understand the full extent of his powers, he decided to be a good guy.
Right. Now, I mean, I don't know how his dad dies in the movie, but I mean, in the stories before, he's died of like a heart attack, so it's not like he's been murdered.
Right.
Like in, you know, Batman and Spider-Man's case, where, you know, somebody close to them actually gets murdered. Which is obviously very different, especially when you're talking about a superhero. I mean, that's such a core part of Batman's mythology. That's why he doesn't use guns. That's why he doesn't kill people. Because of what happened to his parents.
On the other hand, yeah, I'm not going to get into it. I can complain about some things, but you know, I will say on the whole. I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the movie for what it was. I'm not deep enough or passionate enough about the comic books to rail against what happened, you know, how they would have changed things in the movie and stuff. There was a lot of, you know, that visually it worked very well. Lois Lane was a well-defined character.
Well, I mean, I like Amy Adams. She's a very good actress.
You like anyone who was in a Muppet movie. Come on, admit it.
I liked her before she was in a Muppet movie.
But that sealed the deal.
Sure. Yeah. Right. No. But I am. No,
you probably love. What? Oh, no. Never mind. I was going to make a terrible joke about. Never mind. I stopped myself before I made a stupid comment.
Okay, fair enough.
This time.
No, I mean, I'll see Man of Steel at some point, but it didn't sound good enough to me that I was going to, you know, considering how much it costs to go to the movies these days.
Yeah.
I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And, you know, took the kids to see Monsters University, which, you know, I'd already seen with my wife a previous screening, and I'd already seen half of it at Pixar when I was there a couple months ago, which is a great film, and you should see it if you haven't. Have you seen that yet, by the way?
Worst movie ever made. I'm just screwing with you. I just had to screw with you once in a while.
It's a Pixar film. I know that you don't think that. I know you far too well to think that you would
actually. I just have a feeling that you and I are ultimately going to be the new Siskel and Ebert.
That would be awesome.
Even if it's not, you know, we just have to screw with each other every now and then. It was 85% completely predictable, but totally enjoyable, well done. You love the characters. You love, you know, and what they did with, you know, the setting and the themes and all that stuff was very well done.
And I love Nathan Fillion in
that. Nathan Fillion did a great job in that.
That was so much fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I hadn't known when I was at Pixar, and I saw the first half of the film, I had no idea that he was in it. And so I'm like, you know, they get to the scene where, you know, Sully's talking to the roar guys. I'm like,
right.
That's Nathan Fillion's voice. That's so cool. You know, cause it took me a second. The second sentence he said, I was like, oh, that's totally his voice. And that was so much fun. I had no idea. So that was a pleasant little surprise.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out this summer. Fillion is really rocking it between Monsters U and Much Ado About Nothing and what was the third? Now I'm gonna. Oh, the new Percy Jackson.
All right. Yeah.
He's got it going on. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. I haven't seen much of D yet. I'm gonna go. I'm planning to go see that on the 4th, actually. Go see an early show on the 4th.
Been waiting for it to come to a theater somewhere nearby.
It's playing at 2 theaters in my area. Neither terribly close to my house, but they're at least they're within the general vicinity. Since when it was in the original release, the closest it was Manhattan, which is 400 miles away from here.
That's a little challenging. At least there was one up in San Francisco.
But. I just decided I don't think we're going to do that. I think we'll wait. So now it's only about 8 miles, which is doable.
That's a little better.
Yeah, and it's a nice theater too. And so definitely going to do that. I saw a preview screening of Despicable Me 2, which opens tomorrow.
Cool.
Which is a lot of fun. I liked it a lot better than the first one, actually.
Oh, very interesting.
I mean, it's hysterical. It's absolutely hysterical. They the stuff they give the girls more interesting things to do than just being cute, and the minions are just hysterical. Just absolutely freaking hysterical. The end of it, the end stuff, I don't want to give too much away, but I was practically falling out of my chair. Some of the stuff that they were doing with the minions was just hysterical. Plus, what was really cool is they actually use a Da Vinci's Notebook song.
Oh, very cool. Holy cow.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. You ever heard Another Irish Drinking Song?
I probably have. It's been a while. But for those of us who are, for those listening, Da Vinci's Notebook was the a cappella comedy group that Paul and Storm were major parts of before they went off and became Paul and Storm. So, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So another
Irish drinking. How the heck did they make that connection?
I don't know, but yeah, another Irish drinking song. I wasn't 100% sure that it was that. I thought it might be something that just sounded like that. So I was watching in the credits, and I was like, "Yep." And there said another Irish drinking song by Greg DiCostanzo, which is Storm's real name. It was like, wow,
he's guaranteed IMDb credit. Wow, yep.
It was freaking cool. It was awesome. I tweeted about it, but they didn't tweet back, which I thought was.
Oh, you got to bug the heck out of him about that. Where the heck did that? I mean, he's got that's pretty neat.
Yeah, well, and it's a fun song. You know, it's basically about basically you go drinking, you wake up, throw up, go drinking once again, throw up, pass out, wake up, go drinking again, and just keep doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to it. There must whoever was working on the music either knows them, or like went to college with or whatever. There must be some inside knowledge.
That would be my guess. I just thought it was. I couldn't believe it when I heard it. I was like, it's really that's Da Vinci's Notebook. That's awesome.
That is pretty neat. Amazing, awesome. All right, wow.
So yeah, definitely listen for that. But it's a very funny movie. Kristen Wiig does a great job as the agent that of the agent of the Anti-Villain League, who kidnaps Gru, which is in the trailer, so I'm not giving anything away.
Right.
And then they recruit him to fight this still a villain, because of course Gru is no longer a villain.
Right.
Now he's making jelly.
Chris Anderson just tweeted, played Team Fortress 2 with Oculus Rift, stunningly immersive, also nerdiest thing I've ever done. Instant bachelor territory.
Wow, and for Chris to say it's the nerdiest thing he's ever done, that's...
I know, the king of thrones.
I mean, really. Yeah, he's, the former editor-in-chief of Wired Magazine saying this is the nerdiest thing he's ever done.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
That's something. Speaking of games, incidentally, have you played The Last of Us?
No, I have not.
You have a PS3, right?
No, we are an Xbox family.
Well, then you can't play it.
Fine. Well, it's not good enough for us anyway.
It's a freaking awesome game. I mean, it is honestly one of the best. The best story of any game that I played in.
Is that the one with the guy with the little girl going after undead and a post-apocalyptic thing?
Not a little girl, teenage girl.
Teenage girl. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a post zombie pandemic, except it's a fungal
fungus.
So I have to say that there's two stages of the disease, which is there's the runners who are incredibly fast and crazy, but basically look human, and then there's the clickers, who have become about half fungus. And I have to say, their faces are freaky. I have a pretty strong stomach and everything, but man, they're freaky. But they look like basically half fungus, half human. And it's really kind of scary how realistically they look, half fungus, half human.
All right, so where would you put this on the how old kids would you let play this kind of?
Oh, I wouldn't. I mean, I tend to be on the high end of that anyway. But as far as people I know, but I wouldn't let anybody younger than 17 play this. Honestly, it's not only is it scary, but it's an intense game.
Wow,
I mean, it's really intense. Not only does it have a great story and is the voice acting fantastic, but it covers things in a much more realistic way than games of that genre typically do. Like, if you've ever played, like, the Uncharted games, well, I guess if you don't have a PS3, you probably haven't, but it's made by the same guys who did the Uncharted games, made by Naughty Dog. Well, it's made by a different team at Naughty Dog, but still it's the same technology. But in the Uncharted games, basically Nate Drake, who's the main character, goes around, he shoots people, like, you know, left and right. Basically, if you add up all the people he kills in a game, he's probably killed like 300 people in any given game, which is appalling if you think about it. You know, he's a mass murderer. You know, that's terrible. You know, nobody does that. And nobody who does that would you actually consider a decent person, right? But in this one, you don't kill anybody unless you absolutely, the zombies are one thing, like, because you're actually putting them out of their misery. But if you kill, like, the soldiers and such who are trying to stop you from getting into the areas that you're not supposed to be in, you only do it if you absolutely have to.
That's good.
And, you know, it's hard to find ammo because it's supposed to be post-apocalyptic. Nobody's making any more ammo, you know, except the military, presumably, except for the military, you know, which you are not. So it's not that easy to come by. So you better use what little you have. And if you want to, like in the Uncharted games, if you want to heal, if you, like, you get shot, basically your best bet is to, like, go hide for a few minutes while you heal, which is, of course, you know, untreated gun wounds are always heal best when you just wait, right?
Mm-hmm. Especially when there's a fungus around.
In The Last of Us, though, that doesn't happen. If you get hurt, you don't heal until, like, the combat's over and you use a medical kit and you sit there for a few minutes and heal yourself. And you can't just do that in the middle of a fight because it takes a few seconds and you can't do anything else while you're doing it. Much like in reality. You know?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you have to use your resources wisely. Like, the same tools that you would use to make a medical kit, you can use to make a Molotov cocktail. You know, alcohol, bandages, you know, but you can't use it to make both because you only have a limited supply. So what do you do? You know, what do you need more? Do you need a Molotov cocktail to get rid of a couple of bad guys at once? Or do you need to heal yourself more? Well, that's the question. So it really does, it adds complexity to it, and it really makes it an incredibly immersive experience.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Although I have to say, the opening bit, as a father of a daughter, just killed me emotionally. Just absolutely, because, I mean, it's not really giving too much away. He starts off on when the pandemic has started, and you start off actually playing the main character, Joel, who ends up being the main character who you play through the rest of the game's daughter. And at the end of it, you know, when you're basically running out of the pandemic area, she dies. And then it skips ahead to 20 years later.
Right.
So that just killed me emotionally.
It's good storytelling, yeah.
It really was. The fact that it was able to immerse me that much in it, that I was just like, oh my God, that's, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's see. So we're closing in on 50 minutes right now. I'm trying to think, you know, it's weird because I have been so focused on stuff over at Make. I've seen plenty of stuff going on in the sort of the techie project makery space, like, oh, well, MakerBot got bought.
No, did it? I didn't miss that.
Our good friend, Bree Pettis,
mm-hmm.
worth, oh, I don't know, $100 million now.
You see, that's nice.
MakerBot was bought by Stratasys, which is one of the major industrial 3D printing companies, for, I've seen, anywhere between low $400 to $600 million.
Okay.
So, there's a little validation of this silly little hobby that people have been doing, building 3D printers. So that was a big piece of news in the last couple of weeks. And the 3D printers are now so mainstream that they're showing up in Staples.
Yeah, I know. I did actually see that the other day.
The cube is in there, but not that anyone with a decent knowledge of the 3D printing sphere would recommend that you get a cube,
right?
Because while they're maybe a halfway decent printer themselves, they're sort of working off of the inkjet model, mm-hmm. where you're buying a moderately expensive piece of hardware and overpaying for the ink.
Mm-hmm.
Rather dramatically, they use a cartridge system for the PVC for the filament, and the way they charge for it, it's basically about 2.5 to 3 times as much as what you would pay if you buy 80% of the other printers out there that just use the standard filament rolls that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks, keep that in mind. When you're out there, though, the humorous thing is that somebody, I believe you can find at least on Thingiverse, if not a few other places, people have already designed a piece that you can 3D print to put onto your cube printer that will help you to run standard coil filament through the place where the cartridge usually attaches.
That doesn't surprise me, actually. It's very meta. It's very cool.
So yeah, that's the meta of 3D printing. But so, it's I've been getting very much more immersed in the 3D printing and Arduino and Raspberry Pi, and a lot of the technical stuff that's going on out there. There's exciting times right now. So it's fun. At Geek Dad, we've been touching on a number of these things for a long time, and there's a number of our writers who are into some of these areas. I've had a couple of Arduino based projects in some of my books and things like that. Mm-hmm. But man, I'm visiting with a whole other level of the people that are really passionate about this stuff, and the people that are putting out projects based on this stuff every day and doing really cool stuff. So it is really exciting.
Excellent. Very cool.
It's neat. Can't wait. We're about to do another iteration of our 3D printing guide, which means they're going to get something like 20 or 30 3D printers into the office and put them and do, you know, Consumer Reports style, put them through their paces.
That must be rough.
So that's going to be it.
That's going to be tough.
I mean, it's,
but somebody's got to do it.
I did over Father's Day weekend because I got to go speak at a local science center. Mm-hmm. They invited me up because of Geek Dad, but because of my connections up at Make, I borrowed a Replicator 2 to bring with me and show off, which a lot of people were really fascinated about. But I had it here for about 4 days, and I printed out a whole bunch of stuff. I just went to town.
Of course,
there's my iPhone case that I printed out, and let's see. Do you recognize this little fellow?
I do indeed.
My neighbor Totoro, and there's a flying spider here somewhere, and
Oh, yeah, I have to say, at the Japan Pavilion at Epcot, yeah. If they hadn't been so freaking expensive, there were so many cool Totoro dolls.
Oh, there really are. They're
gorgeous, but they're so expensive.
I know. I remember. Yeah, that was that the gift shop there in the Japan Pavilion was so much fun.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And I mean, you know, the little booth where they're pulling pearls out of oysters and and the sake tasting.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the sake tasting. Yes, that was very nice. So,
indeed.
All right. So, anything coming up on Geek Dad that we should be paying attention to?
Nothing specific. We don't have any big things imminently that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I'll be putting up something about the Transformers ride in the next, probably early next week. I just haven't had time to pull everything together. It's been too busy at the day job, unfortunately.
Gotcha. I went and finally revised and republished my book project about the slip and slide, which I thought was very timely for the summer heat that is going on all across the country right now.
Quite so. Yeah. Yeah, actually, we should probably go through and reprint some of the other ones that we got from the summer up there. Yeah, I know we'll have to. We should have 10 things parents should know pieces up tomorrow for both the Lone Ranger and Despicable Me 2. One which, I have not seen the Lone Ranger personally. From what I have heard, it is best avoided. And Despicable Me 2, I can say from personal experience, you should totally go see.
Yeah, Lone Ranger. It's going to be it's Pirates of the Caribbean with cowboy hats. That's the vibe.
Well, only less fun.
Oh, interesting.
But from everything I've heard, it's not. It could have been, but it, like they don't make it nearly as much fun as the Pirates movies. Because the Pirates movies were dumb, but they were fun enough that you didn't care so much that they were dumb.
Got it.
You know, but this apparently isn't fun enough that you. But you can find yourself not caring that it's not.
Too bad. So no Tonto sequels. That's all right.
Let's hope not. Apparently, if what I've heard is correct, like I said, I mean, I've heard such bad things about it that I actually didn't go to the preview screening that I had been invited to.
Got it.
It's like, yes, I'm going to pass up a free movie. It's got to be.
You dodged that bullet rather than taking one for the team, Matt. I'm disappointed.
Well, Dave had already gone to see it, so he was going to write the article about it anyway. So
that's great. I gotta thank Dave because he wrote up a nice piece from the Mini Maker Faire in Kansas City last weekend.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was very cool of him to do.
Yeah.
And everybody should be paying attention because World Maker Faire in New York in September is coming up fairly quickly. There will be a Geek Dad and Geek Mom booth at the fair. And for the first time, I very well should be there.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely try to make it there for that. Although I'm also going to try to make it to New York for New York Comic Con since I'm... Sadly, it looks like I'm not going to be able to make it to San Diego.
The trials and tribulations of an editor-in-chief.
It's the have to, you know, make money at the day job so that I can afford to continue to be editor-in-chief.
I know.
Yeah, it's the sad thing. Family has
so many things to talk about that we can't talk about. So
this is true.
Yeah. Anyway, if anyone wants to send Geek Dad lots of money, please do.
Please.
Yes. Anyway. Actually, I have to say, since we've had that the donation button up, we've had a number of people send in very, very kind gifts, and we really, really appreciate that kind of thing. This is very much especially now that we're no longer associated with Wired, this is very much a on the side bunch of people just doing this on their free time volunteer effort. There's not much, if anything, remunerating us for this anymore. And so we're doing it because we love it and we're passionate about this space and want to share everything that's going on with all of you. So if you have a moment to maybe send us a dollar or two, that would be cool. We like the PBS model. that's fine. On the other hand, if you, you know, represent a company or something and you think that very intelligent, professional, genius, smart, geeky people like us that have families and represent a certain demographic are the clients that you want or the customers you want, consider getting in touch with us about advertising, because that would be very handy for us.
Yes, we'd be more than happy to.
And there are links on the website for how to do that. So a little bit of, hopefully you guys will forgive us for a little bit of advertising there, but we want to keep this thing going in any way that we can, and so we could use that help.
Yes, we promise not to do a pledge drive.
Exactly. Yeah, we won't shut down. In between episodes of classic Doctor Who, we will not shut down for a week and do a pledge drive. So, anyway, this has been awesome. Matt, it's been far too long.
It has been.
And everything seems to be going really well, so I am excited. I'm thank you, everybody, for listening. And, you know, hopefully there are still a few of you out there listening to the podcast. You know, we don't have statistics running on this, so it's kind of weird. We don't know how many people are out there listening to this, so please feel free to drop us a line in the comments for the post when this goes up on the blog, just to let us know you're out there and that you're enjoying this, because we're doing this 50% for you and just 50% for us, because we love having a reason to talk to each other.
So, or if you're listening and there's something that you'd prefer that we do better, that would be cool. That would be awesome. Also, okay.
Yeah,
we're okay with constructive criticism.
Whatever.
Constructive criticism.
Constructive, yeah. Positive reinforcement. We like. So, anyway, this has been the Geek Dads episode number 136. I'm Ken Denmead, publisher, editor at large for GeekDad.com. He is Matt. Matt Blum, the editor-in-chief of GeekDad.com. Matt, thank you as always.
You're welcome. Thank you as always for hosting.
Happy to do it. Folks, we will be back hopefully. What is today? Today is the 2nd. So 2 weeks would be the 16th. I will be in Disneyland. So we may not have a podcast in 2 weeks. We may be out 4 weeks again. So apologies for that. But unless Matt wants to try and do the hangout on the hair himself.
If I can find somebody to hang out with me, I might.
There you go. Kick someone in the pants, man.
Nobody wants to hear me talk by myself for an hour. It's just...
That's what I always thought. And yet, you don't actually have to have someone to listen. Just talk.
That's true. Okay, I suppose
we're good at it. We're geeks. We can do it. All right, folks. Thank you so much. And until next time. So long. Bye-bye.
So long.